Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, if you didn't know, God granted us the freedom to make choices, and each day we get to choose who we are going to be. And so today we start by looking at how it is that we choose gratitude. And I loved pulling this verse from Paul, because this is a way that he starts so many of his letters. This is a language that Paul loves. He gives great thanksgiving for the churches that he has started, for the people in them, for the people that are doing ministry, for the people that he's mentoring. And so many times he's expressing this thanks. Here in Ephesians, we hear him writing to the church in Ephesus and saying that he is giving thanks because they have found faith in Christ and that God has been stirring in their hearts. And he gives thanks and continues to pray for them in that. And this morning, I wanted to take kind of a personal moment to be able to walk in Paul's footsteps by giving thanks to you, to express my gratitude. Because, you know, number one, I am so grateful to be able to be the pastor of this church. When I got the call 2.5 years ago and the district superintendent said, I want you to go to Torrance, my immediate reaction was, that's LA. I can't live in LA. It's too many people, it's too busy, and there's too much traffic, and I'm turning into this country girl in the Inland Empire, and I like this. And God, what are you doing trying to move me so drastically? And I have to tell you, it did not take very long before I turned to the Lord and said, you know what you're doing. This is a really good place for me and the kids to be. And this is a really exciting place to be doing ministry. And that's a real blessing as a pastor, to be in an exciting place to be doing ministry. And so I'm very grateful to be appointed to this church, to be in ministry with all of you here in Torrance, and here in Torrance and Carson and Gardena and you name it. But I also have to say, you know, I'm very grateful that this church is able to provide me a place to live. If you don't know, we as a church have a parsonage. We own a house, and that's where the kids and I live. And to be able to have a roof over your head and not worry about how you're going to pay for it each month is a huge blessing and a huge stress off my shoulders. Now, of course, if you don't know, we discovered almost a year ago that we had some problems in that parsonage with the bathroom floors and the kitchen floors. And I give thanks that we have a fantastic trustees committee that not only takes care of these buildings here on this property, but also takes care of the parsonage. And they've been doing such great work of getting an inspector out there to see what the extent of the damage was, getting contractors out there, sitting in meetings, hearing bids and going over contract proposals and figuring out money and all of that. And it's been a good 6-7 months of working on getting us to where we are, where the demolition has been able to start on that first bathroom. And so for the trustees committee, I am so grateful for that. Now, this construction started and we immediately found mold. And my next Thanksgiving, I give thanks that we have this wonderful committee called the Staff Parish Relations Committee. And this is like the HR department of the church, if you don't know. They're the ones that are the go-between between the congregation and the pastor and the staff if there's any issues or things that need to be worked on. They're also the place you can go to give praise, to say, you know, we've got this amazing staff and we want somebody to know that's an SPR to talk to. But our SPRC is also the go-between between the church and our district superintendent about how things are going with me appointed as pastor. And when we had our charge conference 1.5 weeks ago, the SPRC had their annual meeting with the district superintendent. And without me knowing, what they did is they went to the district superintendent and said, we've got problems with the parsonage and we've got the pastor and kids living there with construction and mold and fungus and these things. Is there any way the district has some funds to be able to work out some housing for them while this construction's going on? And the district superintendent said, well, let me see what I can do. And, you know, we pay these apportionments And sometimes we look at the number on that apportionment and we go, oh my goodness, what we could do here with that money instead of sending it away. But then we get reminded that there's wonderful things that happen with that money, of how it helps the ministry to happen. And some of those apportionment dollars that we've been faithful to pay is coming back because the district did find funding. And believe it or not, it has been a whirlwind of a week. And yesterday, with the grateful heart of a pastor for having some wonderful family and friends with a U-Haul, the kids and I moved into an apartment yesterday where we will be staying until construction finishes. And so I have to tell you, going into this Thanksgiving week, I am so thankful and blessed for who I'm in ministry with, who is supporting me and my kids, in family and friends, and just the way that God seems to take care of things. And so that is a huge blessing. And so you all know that's what's going on with our church, and also to be thankful that you've got members sitting around you that work very hard for this church, and we are thankful for each one of them. And so that is my moment of thanks, as Paul gives thanks for all of the ways that he's blessed. But here we go into why we are thankful, why it is that God calls us to be in an attitude of gratitude. And to be able to do that, I go into a little bit different of a letter of Paul's, as I go into his first letter to the Thessalonians. And when we go into the first letter of Thessalonians, Paul essentially says, it is God's will for us to be thankful in all circumstances, okay? Now, we look at this and we say, okay, all circumstances? There's some circumstances where it's really hard to be thankful. When you are in the thick of a terrible disease, when there are natural disasters coming about, when it seems like the perfect storm of things coming about, Pastor, you just really can't be thankful in those kinds of situations. You just have to see the reality of what's happening. Well, to show us that we really can be thankful, no matter the circumstances, I was looking at the story of Robinson Crusoe, okay? A good classic novel, okay? And I'll admit, before this week, I really didn't know what the story was about. I'll admit, I didn't have to read it in any of my schooling. But I looked at the story and I'm like, wow, what a terrible circumstance. This guy kept getting shipwrecked. Why he kept getting on ships, even though he kept getting shipwrecked, I don't know. But eventually he ends up on an island that he calls the Island of Despair. He gets shipwrecked, and he's the only one that ends up on this island, okay? You would think these would be terrible circumstances. Shipwrecked on an island, how do you have an attitude of gratitude? How do you be thankful in this situation? Well, Robinson sat down one day and decided to make a list of the bad things in his situation and the good things in his situation. And here's how it looked. He looked at his two columns, and he realized, all right, he was cast away on a desolate island. Bad column. But he looked, and he saw, but I'm still alive. I made it. Good column. So then he looked, and he saw he was separated from humanity, all alone on this island. Definitely in the bad column. But then he realized he wasn't starving. He had access to food by what was on that island, and he was being taken care of, the good column. So then he saw he had no clothes, okay? This would be in the bad column. But then he realized he was in a warm climate on this island and didn't really need those warm clothes that he seemed like he would miss so much. And so that went into the good column, that he had this great climate that he was able to experience. So then he looked and he thought, oh my goodness, I have no way to defend myself on this island. That goes into the bad column, the fears come up, but then he realized there was nothing that would threaten him on that island, and he didn't need to be able to defend himself. So there it went, on the good column. Well, he saw that he had no one to talk to, and that went in the bad column, but then he realized that he had access to the wrecked ship, and he was able to get anything he needed off of it that he was still being provided for. Now went into the good column. So when he looked at all of this, what he concluded that was there was no condition in the world that was so miserable that no one could find something, no one could not find something to be grateful for. In all of our circumstances, if we really examine everything in the situation, there's going to be something we can find to be thankful for. Now, what happens in this? Why is it that God is so concerned with us being thankful no matter the circumstances? Well, if you think about it, when we find what's in that good column, when we find what we can be thankful for no matter the situation, that's when we're acknowledging that God is still at play in our life, that God is still there providing, that God is still there blessing, that God is still with us and has not abandoned us. Because guess what? No matter the circumstance, God is still there. God is still providing. God is still blessing us, and God will not abandon us. And when we find that good, it means we are searching to find God in the situation. And when we give thanks, we are acknowledging to God that He is there, that we do see Him, and that no matter what's being handed to us, that we still love Him and appreciate what He is doing for us. This is what happens when we give thanks in all circumstances, when we examine the whole picture instead of focusing on the bad. Now, when we continue in Paul and we go into the book of Colossians, what do we see? But Paul tells us to do all things in the name of Christ, giving thanks to God for Him. Now, what is always in that good column? Always in that good column is that we have Christ as our Savior, that we have Christ that has died for us, that we have Christ that has been the witness to us, that we have Christ that is within us, strengthening us, guiding us, being present with us at all times. And we give thanks in all circumstances that God has given us Christ. Because you see what happens, just like when we choose joy, just like when we choose love, when we choose an attitude of gratitude, okay? Not when we choose just to give thanks. I mean, my kids are learning this. When you get something, you say thank you, right? When you get a gift, you write a thank you note. You give thanks. I say thank you to you. These are moments where we give thanks. But even greater than those moments of giving thanks is having this attitude of gratitude, an attitude that says, I am going to look for the blessings, an attitude that says, I am going to find a way to be thankful. I am going to live in such a way that when I walk into a situation, I am going to look for the good and give thanks instead of just focusing on the bad. Now, what happens when this is the kind of attitude we have? We look at the world with different eyes. We are looking for the good. And when we're looking for the good, we're seeing the good. When we look for the bad, we see the bad. And I don't know about you, but I want to see the good. I want to see the good of the world around me. I want to see the blessings in my life. I want to be able to be joy-filled because of what I see. And that happens when we choose the attitude of gratitude. Throughout the Bible, we have people giving thanks as witnesses to us. In the Old Testament, in the beginning through Genesis and Exodus, when they would find a blessing, when they would find where God had interceded into their life, when God had provided for them, when God had given a miracle, they would set up an altar of rocks and they'd pour oil over it and they would bless it and they would glorify and worship God and they would name that space. And hear what would happen when they were giving thanks in that situation, in that circumstance, in that moment. They would leave this permanent marker behind. And now somebody else is coming along on the same kind of journey. Somebody else is walking through the desert or walking through the wilderness. And they come to this altar. And when they see the altar, what do they see? But somebody's public display of thanks tells them, this is a place where God has been. This is a place where God has blessed. This is a place where God has been the God of the impossible and come through. And what happens when we see that witness? We are encouraged. We are blessed. We are able to see somebody else made it past this point, and I can see it past this point too. That attitude of gratitude can be infectious. David writes the Psalms, doesn't he? David has Psalms written, and so many of them are Psalms of thanksgiving, saying thanks to God. Now, David did not live the easy life. David that's on the run from King Saul, who's trying to kill him, and yet being on the run, being hunted down, he's giving God thanks for being with him all along the way and providing for him. Despite the difficulties of King and the challenges that he faced, he gave thanks to God continually. At one point, one of my favorite stories, David is so on fire for God, so excited about what God has done, and just wants to give his thanks, and he strips off all his clothes, and he goes running out into the streets, dancing and giving praise to God. Now his wife goes running after him and tells him, David, you are the king. You cannot be foolish like this. This is not dignified for a king to do this. And David looks at her and he says, I will get even more undignified as this, to give praise to my God and give him thanks for what he does for me. I wonder if we get foolish for God. Don't strip off all your clothes and dance in the streets. Please do not hear that one. But are we ones that choose to put on a lens of that attitude of gratitude, where we are seeing and acknowledging the blessings around us in our life, willing to be foolish for God, to be giving him our thanks and praise, giving him glory for all that he does, where others are able to witness our faith and be able to be strengthened by it? For this is what God desires, this attitude of gratitude that drives us through each day and is the measure of it. My friends, will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for all of the ways that you bless us each and every day. We know those blessings are around us, though sometimes we're just not seeing them. With your Holy Spirit, help our eyes to be opened, to see and to recognize those blessings, and to not hold back, but to give you all of our thanks, overflowing from our hearts into the lives of those around us. For all of this, we pray in your holy name. Amen.